Let us pray.
Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to love you, as we continue to seek you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would continue to worship you through this time. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Over the last few years, as I've reflected on life, I'll have conversations with my mom on the phone about things that happened when I grew up. I don't know if you've done that with your parents. But we'll talk about different periods of life. And over the last few years, as my children have become more independent, as they have grown through various stages and are now in college, my conversations with my mom have included me. Now experiencing the things that she experienced with her kids growing up, especially through this stage of life. Our conversations have taken on more of a friendship rather than just a mother and a child. As I've thought about the basic stages of life, I shared with you a few weeks ago how we initially grow up somewhat selfishly, right? It's all about me. If we cannot take care of ourselves, someone must take care of us. And if we're not taught to become more independent or self-sufficient, we could become or turn out to be very selfish people. It dawned on me that there is another way to look at some of the stages of a person's life in comparison with the Christian life. Now, I'm not talking about some deep psycho or sociologically well-defined stages. No, something more simple which gives us a window, perhaps, to gauge our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. As I give you these stages, what I want you to do is I want you to try to gauge where you're at in these three stages. In stage one, we're a child. Like most young children, we say we love our parents, but we're too young to truly demonstrate our love than a hug or a sloppy kiss and say we love them. In stage two of life, as we grow, we are taught how to behave, how to do number five, right? Obey your parents. We teach our kids to obey their parents. Our love moves from tiny hugs and is now demonstrated by doing the things your parent tells you to do and be happy about it. Living life in obedience, following a set of rules, almost as if we're slaves. In between stage two and stage three, there might be a time of rebellion. Now, I was not one who openly rebelled at home. In fact, I wouldn't say I rebelled so much as maybe seeking my independence. In stage three of life, as we establish independence more into adulthood, we can find ourselves becoming more like friends to our parents. Although I'm still my mother's child, when we talk on the phone, we oftentimes speak as friends, not as parent and child. Now, I realize that this is not true for all parents and children, as I've seen parents and children or siblings who have not spoken to each other in years until a major family event takes place, which brings us back together again. And it's not to make anyone feel bad, but it's just the reality of life. Now, it seems to me that this is often true in our relationship with God, these three stages of child and slave and friendship. In the first stage, we say we love Jesus for providing a way for us to be in relationship with God by dying on the cross. And for some Christians, that's about as far as it goes. It's like the wife who says that she's only heard her husband say once that he loves her. And after years of marriage, she finally asked him, "Honey, why don't you tell me that you love me?" And he says to her, "I told you I loved you once, and if it changes, I'll let you know." Some Christians will say to God, "I love you once," when they became saved, and if it changes, then they'll let God know. Do you remember passing through this time with God when you were in love with God and wanted to serve God? Maybe it was at a retreat or a summer camp or some event in your life, but as time passed on, you really didn't act upon it. People at this stage may attend church a couple of times a year, and maybe even that will fade. But the stage is marked by saying I love you once, but never really following through. The second stage is a stage of showing God we love God by living in obedience to God's law, the commandments or the rules that we see in the Bible. We tell people my actions speak for God or speak about my love for God. I'm a good person. There's a definite desire to relate to God, but it's only shown by what we do. To me, the Pharisees really had this kind of relationship with God. They were the best at following rules. For instance, how far could one, according to the Pharisees, follow, or how far could one travel on the Sabbath day? Number 321, there were 613 different mitzvahs, sets the maximum walking range from one's city to 2,000 cubits. That's 3,049.5 feet, or 0.596 miles, or if you're into metrics, 960 meters. To get around this, one could count out the distance outside the city that they wanted to travel. Then as they come to that place of 2,000 cubits, mentally declare this to be their residence for the Sabbath, in which case he was permitted now to go another 2,000 cubits to a selected tree or wall and maybe make that place their place of residence for the day. To me, this is akin to saying, I follow God's law, yet I miss out on the relational aspect with God. I pray to God for others, but I never really have heart-to-heart conversations with God. Why do that? It's almost as if you are a slave to God, doing what God demands, but never really seeking out God or knowing God more intimately. For some, love for God is borne out more in following the rules instead of intimacy with God. Like the Pharisees, we measure our connectivity with God by what we have followed or by what we have ignored. Do you find yourself living more like a slave to God? I think to some degree we all enter this stage with God at some point in our life. The kids that were up here, they're going to enter that stage where obedience to God is how they show love to God. Parents will say, do what God tells you to do. Follow what the Bible says. My concern is that many people remain here when God wants us to move into the third stage. You see, John speaks about the coming of Jesus and how he was the true light of the world and giving light to everyone. And yet what happened? Read it with me. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, John recognizes that some never enter the stage, or never enter stage one with God, where we recognize our need for God, let alone that God is even real. But then John goes on to say these words, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human's decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You have been given the right to become a child of God based on if we believe in Jesus as the Son of God who died for our sins. But God does not want us to remain as children. God wants us to enter into an adult friendship of mutual love. This third stage where we act out for God, we act for God out of love for God, not just out of obedience. The third stage is where we act for God out of love for God, not just out of obedience. You see, God wants us to act obediently because God knows that that's good and healthy for us. This is like us simply following God. Do you want to follow God's will out of obedience? Or would you rather follow God's will out of love? Do you think God would rather you be a follower out of obedience, or do you think God would rather you be a follower out of love? When Jesus first meets with the people who would become his disciples, what did he ask them to do? Do you remember? He asked them to follow him. To follow him. When the rich man asked Jesus what he must do to inherit the kingdom of God, Jesus tells him to sell all he has and to follow him. Jesus would say that one must take up their cross and follow him. This is a matter of obedience. Obedience to the master, the teacher, the rabbi. But Jesus would go on to teach his disciples that it would get hard to simply follow out of obedience. And when it did, some of those who were following Jesus at that point would fall away. And as we come up to Palm Sunday, the crowds are going to cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They'd be waving palms and throwing their cloaks in front of the donkey as Jesus rode by. And yet within 4 days, they would scatter like rats with the light coming on. Now some are even persecuting him. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" they yell. And even his very closest friends, they've disappeared. Now, Peter was one who said that he would never let anyone harm Jesus. In fact, he would never deny Jesus. And yet, in Jesus' darkest times, Peter doesn't deny Jesus once. He doesn't deny Jesus twice. He denies Jesus 3 times. Now, when Peter and Jesus meet up after Jesus' resurrection, do you remember the question that Jesus asked Peter? It's not, "Peter, will you still follow me?" is it? It was, "Peter, do you love me?" And then he asked it again, "Peter, do you love me?" And then one more time, "Do you love me?" No, Jesus didn't want Peter to follow him. Jesus wanted Peter to love him. And when Peter said yes, Jesus said, "Go feed my sheep." To help people, not only to follow Jesus, but to help people fall in love with Jesus and to follow his will out of love, not obedience. Jesus is moving Peter from this kind of slave mentality to that of a sacred child who follows out of love. Ask yourself, do I follow God more out of obedience? Or do I follow God more out of love? A life of obedience is marked by following a set of rules. And we follow those rules because we want to be obedient. We sometimes look, though, more like Pharisees, more concerned about not breaking a commandment rather than loving God. Following rules instead of learning about and talking with and talking to God. But a life of loving God is more about a relationship with God. Learning not just to follow facts or follow or understand the facts of who God is, but learning to know God's heart, God's tendencies. Wanting to be with God and not just follow God. Wanting to do what God asks because we seek to please and love God. A lover of God has a life that is marked out by action. They seek to love their neighbors daily by what they say and by what they do. They seek to give their time to others to help them to learn and to know about God. They give a portion of their money for God's work. They enter into ministry with others so that others will not just follow God, but will learn and love God. It was over the summer of 86 when I came to this type of crossroads in my life. Certainly I had grown up in the church and I knew what Jesus had done for me, but my love was like that of a child. A hug to God in a form of an acknowledgement. Maybe I would go to church. You see, I had made these shifts in my life when God began to answer some of the questions that I had about the meaning of life and the purpose and the meaning for my life. But attending church on Sunday mornings was more of being a follower, more of being obedient to God than a lover. You see, I was challenged by God to read the Bible beyond church, to learn about God through Jesus, and to learn what it meant to truly be like Jesus. Not just to follow Jesus, but to be like Jesus. And as I did, Jesus became more real for me and more real to me. As I began to sense God's Holy Spirit in me, speaking to me, gently leading me, loving me, helping me to love God in return. Yes, I acted out of obedience to God's word, but I could see myself being obedient, not because I was a follower, but because I was a loving child, a lover of God. Will you this morning commit yourself to becoming a loving child of God instead of just a follower? Like a slave who does their master's bidding, move from that to become one who operates out of love for God. Or will you, if you are seeing yourself in stage three, recommit yourself to being a lover of God, a loving child, one who not only follows, but loves God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength? Can you make that commitment this morning to move from one to the other, or if you're here, to recommit to following God out of love, always, always out of love? Because God uses both sets of people to draw others to Himself. But who would you rather follow? Someone who follows rules, or would you rather follow someone who really loves God? I know what I would choose. You see, Jesus loved the Father and did what the Father asked Him to do out of love, not just because He was being obedient. Can we make that shift in our life this morning? Can you decide to become a lover of God as opposed to just an obedient follower? And will your life be marked out by activity? by actions of ministry, by actions of love, by being involved in helping the kingdom grow here where God has planted you. Can you do that this morning? Will you do that this morning? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have drawn us closer to yourself. Lord, that you are seeking for each of us to not just be followers, but to be lovers of your soul. We ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to recommit ourselves now to loving you, to drawing closer to you. For you have such a great love for us that cannot compare. A love that is overwhelming. Help us to open our lives more to you, that we might open our lives more to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.